Going okay? Working out just like you planned? Or are you reacting according to what the day is giving you? Mr. Kubik wrote in his latest article, or maybe not the latest, but in a recent one, about a major key to our success. And that major key is something important and very beneficial to all of us. If you turn with me to Psalms 90, in his article he quoted from a prayer that Moses sent up to God. In Psalms 90 and in verse 12, this is part of the prayer that Moses prayed. In verse 12, Psalms 90 and in verse 12, so teach us, help us to understand, help us to do something that's going to be beneficial to us, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to be organized. Teach us to get the most out of every day that we can get out of a day. The title of my message today is, it's all about time. It's all about time. If you read this same verse in the New Living Translation, it says, teach us to realize the brevity or the shortness of life that we may grow in wisdom. We know life is very short, passes by quickly. We probably have heard or even said ourselves the expression, there just is not enough hours in a day. And some days it really seems that way. But there are the same number of hours in every day. 24. Always been that way. Let's turn to Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1. We go back to the beginning to see, has something changed in the time or length of a day? We'll see here it says in verse 5, Genesis 1 and verse 5, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, so the evening and the morning were the first day. Still the same today, the evening and the morning. 12 hours of light, 12 hours of darkness, 24-hour period, nothing's changed. Still the same. So what's the problem? Why do we not have enough time in our days to do the things we need to do? Why can't we get everything we need to get done, done? Do you and I understand how to spend our time? People who do not have a budget and wonder where their finances go and then they put a budget together and they realize where their money is going, how much of it they're wasting, spending on things they don't need. But they had to stop and take time to really look at their finances, how much was coming in, how much was going out, and what am I doing with it? Our time is the same way. We have 24 hours in a day. Do we live each day to the fullest? Do we squeeze every second out of a day that we can squeeze out of a day for our good, for the positive? Do we as Christians spend time each day studying the Word of God for guidance and direction? Is that a priority for us? Do we make sure that that's done? Let's turn to Psalms 39. Psalms 39. Psalms 39. And in verse 4. Psalms 39 and in verse 4. It says, Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days? That I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor. Surely, every man walks about like a shadow. Surely, they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Is that where our hope is? Is our hope in God? And by how we live our lives during these 24-hour periods, does it show that? Scripture tells us that as flesh and blood human beings, we're very frail. And I'm not talking about physical. Our physical bodies, God created us in such a way we can take a pretty good hit and come back physically. But what I'm talking about is being frail in a spiritual sense. And we can become that way by not using our time wisely. Are we strong in our faith in God? Do we use our time to exercise spiritually? And we do that by prayer, fasting, and study. That helps us build a strong resistance to our enemy, to Satan, because we have that strong relationship, that strong faith in God. Two things each one of us must have down as a daily requirement during this 24-hour period. And these must be a priority for each one of us as a Christian. We find that in the book of Matthew. If you turn with me to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and in verse 33. Couple of things here that we must do. And they must be a priority. We have to take time each day to do this, or we're not managing our time very well. Matthew 6 and verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God. Is that our number one priority every day when we begin our day of 24 hours? Do we make sure that we have time to do that? Do we schedule time for that? Does the day ever get away from us when we fail to do that? We don't know where our time went. We can't account for it. We just don't have any reason why we didn't seek the kingdom of God and seek that in prayer and getting on our knees and having a one-on-one with God. Sharing with Him our day, what we have planned for the day, and that we want Him to be a part of it. And then, number two, to seek His righteousness. To become more like God. As we're directed to do, be perfect as He is perfect. That's the direction we've been given. But do we do that every day? Seek the righteousness of God. Do we make it a priority? Is that part of that 24-hour period that we set aside to do these two things? The national news brought us stories and pictures of Syrian children along with adults being attacked with poison gas that causes so much pain and suffering and death. Seeing the images of children in pain and dying is almost too much for our minds to take in. It's heart-wrenching to see this happening. How can this be? What kind of a monster would do this to another human being? How much longer will God allow man to cause so much suffering against another person? We don't know. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians that we're to make the most out of every day of our lives, and as Christians, we are to do that. Let's turn to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And in verse 15, the heading here is walk in wisdom. And in verse 15, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. There's a reason we do the things we do. We don't just do them. We don't just do things in a chaotic way. And in verse 16, redeeming the time, grabbing that precious 24 hours of time that we have because the days are evil. There's nothing physically we can do. We can't go to Syria and take Assad out. We can't stop these dictators. But we do have that precious time during each day to get on our knees and ask God to do that, to stop what's going on, to bring His Son, our Lord and Savior Christ, back to this earth to stop this. That's what we do with our time. That's what God expects us to do. Colossians chapter 4, if you turn there. Colossians chapter 4. Again, making sure we grab on and use the time wisely that we have. We don't let it slip away. I remember when I was young and foolish. Some of you might say, well, you're just old and foolish now. But I had a reason. I was young. Now I have no reason. But I would stay out. I would, you know, be gone a day or two. And I'd come home and my mom would know that I hadn't been to bed, and she would always tell me, you'll never get this time back. In your lifetime, you'll never get the time back. It is gone. And I've often thought about that. She was absolutely right. Never regain that time. It was lost. In Colossians 4 and in verse 5, it says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming, again, taking advantage of, holding on to, making it work for us in our relationship with God as a Christian, as the example we set to others, making that time, that precious time, something that works for us and that we don't lose it. We don't let it go to waste. Colossians 3, Colossians 3 and in verse 23. Colossians 3 and in verse 23, and it says, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. What we do as Christians, you and I, have a life of freedom that God has certainly given us, that freedom from sin, from being held captivity and not understanding what sin is. And we know that because we remember that during the days of unleavened bread, that we're to overcome sin. We understand it now, how evil it is, and we stay away. And we seek God's strength to help us to continue to overcome sin. But everything that we do it for the glory of God, not to the glory of men. Ecclesiastes 3, if you turn there with me. Ecclesiastes 3. Ecclesiastes 3. these verses we've heard many times. But I think we need to think about them in the context of this 24-hour period of our life, a life where we deal with everything under the sun. Ecclesiastes 3 and in verse 1, it says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And if we've lived life at all, we know that. We deal with everything. The expected, the unexpected, the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's what we deal with in life. Birth and death. Joy and sadness. A time to plant. A time to kill. A time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Describes our life. All of these things encompass our lives. We deal with all of them. But how do we deal with them? How much time do we spend on them? Are they included in our prayer? Are they included in our relationship with God? Do we make sure that we're mindful of these things? And there's a reason for that. Ecclesiastes 9. Another very familiar verse. Ecclesiastes 9. And in verse 10. Ecclesiastes 9 and in verse 10 it said, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. We have only so much time in this life. We don't know when it's going to end. Have no idea. So this time is very precious. Each one of these 24-hour days is precious. We cannot afford to let this time get away from us and waste it on frivolous things, on things that aren't important. But this verse should get us all to set up and pay attention no matter how old or young we happen to be. Doesn't make any difference. Death doesn't know an age. But at death, everything stops. What I was going to do tomorrow never happens. So we have to use our time wisely. Any one of us who are getting older, one day realize that we can no longer do some of the things we used to do. I used to get on my roof. Up until last summer, as a matter of fact, I'd get up on my roof and take the leaf blower and walk along, clean the gutters. I wouldn't do that now on a bet. I'm just unstable now when I'm up on an area like that. I wouldn't do it. And if I don't do it, it may not get done. Or I do it another way. But we've all experienced that as we get older. Just things we used to be able to do, we can't do anymore. This means we must change our priorities in life. Make a change. Many of the things that seem so important have become just things that may or may not get done. because we have more important things to do. When I was young, visited family in Kentucky. I hated those visits. You know, after 5 minutes of watching the old folks sit around on the porch talking and spitting and listening to themselves talk about their aches and pains, I just wanted to head north. I just wanted to go home. I'm a young kid. Man, I can't relate to any of this stuff. I want to do things. And now when Barb and I go to Kentucky, a few years later, her and I sit on the porch. I'm talking, she's spitting. And we both discuss our aches and pains. And we're just thinking, isn't life great? Things changed. Things changed. We had to reprioritize and do what we can do now. But God has called us to live a certain way of life, no matter our age. And that requires us to make the most out of every day we have left. To make it count. To live it to the fullest. You know, we just kept the Passover and we're in the middle of the days of unleavened bread. Have we taken, you and I, taken it upon ourselves to make each day count? And what I mean by counting is, have we been in prayer and study and in meditation and in fellowship? Because that all helps us to understand the importance of these days. You know, one day we're going to be able to explain to whoever the person is that lives across the street about Good Friday and Sunday, how it just doesn't work. And according to God, it doesn't make any sense. But we can help others understand, just like others helped us understand. We can do that. And we have no control of the things world leaders will decide to do. They'll further their own selfish agenda. What's the guy's name in North Korea? You know, Assad, others. But we do know from history that many terrible atrocities against human beings have occurred. And we know from biblical prophecies that they will occur again. What's our responsibility? Our responsibility is to spend that time with our Creator, God, asking Him to intercede, asking Him to please take care of these precious babies, to take care of those people in two or three of the African countries that are now experiencing famine. They have 24 hours in their day as well. They don't have food. They don't have water. And they're dying. That's what's in their day. If they could have a bite of food or a drink of water in that 24-hour period, I'm sure they would celebrate. And God's given to us all of the spiritual food, all of the spiritual drink we can take in, an abundance, if we take it, if we ask for it. King David prayed 3 times a day. Now, here was a man who was busy, very busy doing what a king does. Never been a king, so I couldn't say for sure. But he didn't let that stop him or distract him from doing what he knew he needed to do every day. Let's turn to Psalms 55. Psalms 55. I look at this and I'm thinking, well, the king was able to do that and he's a pretty busy guy. I really don't have any excuse. Psalms 55 and in verse 16. David knew how important it was to prioritize his time and know where his time each day was being spent. Verse 16, as for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle which was against me, for there were many against me. David knew what to do with that time, that precious time he had every day. He knew how to use it. He knew what to prioritize. Do you and I do that? Do we make an effort to do that? Or do we just get through a day? Man, it's 7 o'clock at night and I forgot to pray today. Haven't talked to God all day. Haven't studied all day. Well, I'm never going to get that time back. It's gone. We need to think about what Scripture tells us to do. Redeem. Capture that time. Mark 13, if you turn there with me. Mark 13. Mark 13. And verse 32. Mark 13 and verse 32. And the heading here is, no one knows the day or the hour. And I would suspect and be pretty confident that no one means no one. But of that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. We don't. We don't have a clue. But we do know it's going to happen. We do know that Jesus Christ is going to return. And we're told all through Scripture, be prepared. The parables tell us, be prepared. How many times does God have to tell us, be prepared? Well, how do we prepare? Takes time to prepare. We have to prioritize our time to be ready. In verse 34, it is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Jesus Christ was crucified, resurrected, and now waits for that time when his Father will tell him it's time. In that meantime, you and I are here. We've been given something to do. Are we doing it? Are we watching? Are we being diligent in what we've been given to do? In verse 35, watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. How terrible would that be if Jesus Christ returned and found us sleeping? And in verse 37, and what I say to you, I say to all, watch. To be ready. To understand what God is doing. We know His calling is a miracle. You and I wouldn't understand these scriptures. We wouldn't be able to pull out that truth to be able to discern right from wrong. To be able to understand God's plan, His holy days and what they mean. To be able to understand the Sabbath. We did not do that on our own. God has given us that. We've been blessed with that. What are we doing with it? 1 Corinthians 13, if you turn there. 1 Corinthians 13. You know, in today's world, and we see it all over college campuses, we see it in adults, nobody wants to grow up. Nobody wants to be responsible. Nobody wants to take anything upon themselves. I want to live in mom and dad's basement until I'm 73. I don't want any responsibility. Somebody might hurt my feelings. It's a crazy world. And a lot of immature people, including the leadership. People don't want to grow up. And there's a reason. Because if you grow up, you become responsible. Well, folks, as Christians, we got to grow up. We got to grow up. And I think I'm going to read a scripture that tells us that. 1 Corinthians 13 and in verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But then one day my dad told me, Mike, you're a man, about time to get a job. About time to buy your own stuff. And that's what God's telling us. I've given you all of this. I've called you out of the world. I've opened your mind to understand. I spoon-fed you. And as you've grown spiritually, I'm giving you more food. More solid food. You're growing up. You're not a child anymore. Put away childish things. Put away the excuses. Put away, I'm going to do it tomorrow. What if tomorrow never comes? Then what do? But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I quit with the excuses. I took that 24-hour period and put it to good use. Quit wasting that time. Knowing full well what Scripture said. That we don't know when Christ is going to return. Thinking about the parables. Studying the parables. The parable about the 10 virgins. Half. Didn't redeem their time. Didn't use it wisely. And were caught sleeping. We don't want to be like that. We don't want that to happen to us. Doesn't have to happen to any one of us. We're in charge of our time. What do we do with it? Do we make it count? Or do we just waste it on nonsense that doesn't mean anything in the long run? When Jesus Christ is facing us and we're facing Him, I don't want Him to say, Mike, you were just foolish. You wasted all of that time I gave you. You wasted it on yourself. You didn't give me any of that time. I don't want to hear those words, and I know you don't either. So let's take the time we have. These days of unleavened bread, what an amazing time God has given us to celebrate. Being brought out of captivity, a world that's held captive by sin and doesn't even understand what sin is. Who one day will understand? But how wonderful it is that God's given us that knowledge. And we understand the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. What He did for you and me. How He used His time for you and me. Not for Himself. But let's grow up as Christians. Let's all grow up. Because we need to do that. And I'm putting me at the head of the line, I'll tell you. Because if I could lay around in my mom and dad's basement, let them take care of me, it's probably where I'd be. But my dad kind of used his foot to help me get out the door. And I appreciate that. And God's using whatever He needs to use to get us out the door and get busy. and to use our time. So let's think about this. Every day, not just the holy days, not just this time of year. We have Pentecost coming up in 50 days, a little over 50 days now. What an amazing God we have given us this time. Where would you and I be if we weren't here today? In the presence of the very Creator of everything. Where would we be today? Who knows? But we put away childish things and walk through that door. And that's what we need to continue to do. So let's think about it. Let's remember how precious this time is. Because our lives, what we do in our lives, is all about time.